It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And joining us from Harvell & Collins is our usual host for Life and Taxes on Thursday. It's Andrew Foster. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben.
How's it going?
Doing well. Wes Collins last night had the chance to go to see his Furman Paladins play against the Duke Blue Devils.
Yes.
And, you know, Wes played basketball at Furman and really enjoyed getting to go up there, I think, to experience, you know, time with the team, but maybe not so much the game itself.
Maybe not so much, yeah.
The Blue Devils
smoked them.
Smoked them pretty good, and me being a Carolina fan, I'd like nothing more than to see the Paladins pull it out.
Yeah.
But I know Wes had a good time and happy to fill in for him and Cecil this morning.
And Cecil goes to New York on Thanksgiving for the Macy's Parade as a holder of one of the big balloons, right?
That's right, Ben. Yeah.
That's
pretty cool. Cecil gets to hold the balloon. I know he's held Spider-Man before. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure which balloon, but you know, if you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, look out for Carteret County local Cecil Harvell. He'll be holding down the fort,
yeah,
so to speak.
Cool. All right. So what are we talking about today?
Well, today, Ben, what I wanted to do is kind of bring a tax flavor to the Let's Talk Legal program. And on Life and Taxes, we went over a few weeks ago the house plan for the new tax law changes. And so that was the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which actually passed on the 16th of November.
Right.
You know, and the big thing at the end of the program was stay tuned, because guess what? This was the one that, you know, the Republicans felt like they could get through pretty easy through the House, but we knew that the Senate's going to be a completely different animal. And they have now released the Senate proposal. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted to do this morning is kind of go through and talk about what the House plan had in it, what the Senate plan has in it, so we can see if there's anything that we can take from the proposals that are out there. So
yeah,
I want to,
knowing that, you know, a lot of things can change, especially even if they pass or they go into conference, a lot of things can happen. And the White House has even said they're going to be flexible.
That's right. So just bear this in mind. We're dealing with some proposals now. And I do think sometimes I don't like to get into speculation, regarding laws, but I do kind of feel like that this has the writing on the wall that something's going to get passed. I mean, you know, after the Republicans didn't get their health care bill through, I kind of feel like it's going to be, let's make this work for tax reform in one way or the other. So I really think it's worth our time and to go through and see, you know, what the plans actually are and to see where, you know, where there might be some opportunity and see what we think the law might end up being.
Right.
So, the quickest and best way to do is get started, which is, obviously we're going to start with estate taxes, Ben, because the estate tax plan, is probably most prevalent and one of the biggest concerns that our clients have at Harvell & Collins, which is how much tax am I going to have to pay, you know, when I leave my assets to my, beneficiaries or heirs? And, you know, the short answer is that right now, as it sits, the current law is very favorable for estate taxes, and the estate taxes are actually at an exemption amount of $5.49 million. So you have to have as an individual more than $5.49 million.
It's before, a couple 11 million so.
But yeah, exactly right, before the estate tax is going to affect you and what you give to your beneficiaries and heirs. Now the plan for both the House and the Senate is to actually double this exemption amount. So you're going to go from, you know, a $5.49 million exemption all the way up to $11.2 million. And the reason for the 11.2 is that on January 1st of 2018, we're set to go to $5.6 million exemption amount. So that's why they've just doubled that number up to $11.2 million. And both the House and the Senate agree we want to double that. So keep in mind, what would that mean for married couples? Up to $22.4 million of wealth that you could transfer
down
the generations.
How many people I know.
That's right. So, you know, really, and we talk about this being such a favorable environment for just everyone. Mm-hmm. Unless you're up there, with regards to your estate, because you had the step up in tax basis, Ben, which means that upon your death, your heirs or beneficiaries are going to get the fair market value basis, how they're going to base their gain or loss when they ultimately, right, sell or exchange an item that they receive from your estate. And that step up in tax basis, is, you know, kind of worth its weight in gold, because you can, yeah, eliminate some of these, built-in gain assets, where if you bought an asset that's highly appreciated, you know, the classic example we give is you buy a stock for $1 and now it's worth $100. You've got a built-in gain of $99, which if you give that through your estate will be completely eliminated, mm-hmm, pursuant to the step up in tax basis. And both the House and the Senate plan, have step up in tax basis built in. Now, I think there's going to be a cap on it. It's just a matter of whether they're going to let you take the full $11.2 million,
right,
worth of step up basis, or whether they're going to come up with a lower number. My guess is it'll probably be a lower number.
But still, I mean, you're talking about 99% of the people going to benefit, will not, this won't affect really, yeah, 99%.
That's right.
Folks, it's essentially a repeal of the
yeah,
estate tax.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Ben, because in the House plan, mm-hmm, there is a repeal.
Mm-hmm.
In 2024, the estate tax would go bye-bye, just like it has in the state of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
In the Senate plan, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stick with just these higher exemption amounts. That a repeal is not on the table for the Senate plan. And that's, you know, not too surprising. We mentioned that there's these tax plans go through dynamic scoring, meaning that they have to make sure that depending on how they're going to, what vote process they're going to use in the Senate to pass,
yeah,
this thing,
right,
they got to make sure that it passes the muster when they do the Congressional Budget Office scoring on these particular items. So therefore, you know, I'm sure that the Senate, a lot of senators may be wanting the estate tax to be repealed, but, you know, it's not in the cards for their particular plan because of, yeah, the scoring that's associated with it.
But they essentially get one.
Yeah. You know, if they can get this passed through, you know, as we said before, you know, President Obama's plan in the green book that he always put out was to lower the exemption amount down, mm-hmm, to $3.5 million.
Right.
You know, now we're looking at the Republicans' plan to double the future,
mm-hmm,
$5.6 million exemption up to $11.2 million. So it's interesting. It's definitely an interesting way to look at it. And this is why, Ben, what I'll tell you at Harvell and Collins, what we do for our clients is that we build flexibility into their estate plans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we do is that because you can see the differing nature between even the House and the Senate regarding what we're going to do with the estate tax, we make sure that our clients have the ability, if the estate tax exemption is lowered, to have built-in trusts in their documents,
mm-hmm,
that can be utilized to make sure that we're completely utilizing the exemption amount. And if it is unneeded, then we don't have to fund those trusts,
mm-hmm,
and therefore they don't become an overly burdensome item, you know, in an individual's estate plan, because it's really the best of both worlds is the way I like to put it. Because if we need it, we've got it and we,
yeah,
can utilize it. And if we don't need it, then, you know, it's not going to hurt you as far as, you know, adding on an additional trust tax return or anything like that, because,
right,
we simply just do not fund that particular trust. And you know, I think this is very telling as to why we do that for our clients and why we make sure that we're still taking the estate tax into consideration for an individual who may not be at the $5 million level,
mm-hmm,
because, you know, anything can happen. You know, look at the stock market, the way it's going right now. It's, you know, really going up. So, you know, if you're on the borderline or you're around that number, it's always nice to make sure that we have the flexibility built in there for you.
Yeah. Now that makes a lot of sense, but it's been a moving target just since the time that we've been doing this show now, with Harvell and Collins for a long time. I think it's gone from 1 million to 2 million to nothing the George Steinbrenner year when passed away.
That's right. 2010.
And you see, did that really have a significant effect on the economy when that year didn't exist? And then it was back to two, three, five, and now maybe 11. So it's been all over the road.
The key word there is maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And it's always a moving target when it's in politics involved. We'll have more to come in just a moment here with Harvell and Collins and Let's Talk Legal. You're invited to call in with your questions if you like. You can do that now.
Call me at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Welcome back here, Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 at AM 1240. Andrew Foster in for Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins here from Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. We're talking about the tax law and the Senate proposal. So what else is on there?
That's right. And just to finish up on the what we call the transfer taxes. Mm-hmm. So we had the estate taxes, Ben, that we went to pretty in-depth there. The gift tax is the other big, you know, big issue. Mm-hmm. And this exemption amount that applies for the estate taxes, this $11.6 million that's proposed in both the House and the Senate plans, is actually going to be applicable to the gift tax as well. So, you know, you would be able to gift up to $11.6 million to an individual. Now, keep in mind, if you're over that annual exclusion amount, mm-hmm. which is at this point in time is still going to be indexed for inflation, it's going to go up to $15,000 next year. It's $14,000 currently. Then you still have the burden of filing a gift tax return.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why we still encourage people to use that exclusion, that annual exclusion amount to do their gifting to avoid just having to file.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an obligation to pay, because as you can see with the $11.2 million exemption, currently a $5.49 million exemption, you're shielding those gifts from tax
right.
by claiming your exemption amount, but you still have to file if you give anyone over the annual exclusion amount, which again is $14,000 for
okay,
this
particular. Okay, so let me run that through again. So, okay. say it's $15,000 in next year.
Yes.
For the annual giving, and you want to give somebody a vehicle that's worth $18,000. Then you can claim $3,000 against this exemption.
Exactly
and
right.
Not have to file at all.
You still
have to file.
You still have to file it. Yeah, you'd file it.
But you don't have to pay any tax.
Correct. And you could claim the annual exclusion. So you claim the $14,000 annual mm-hmm. exclusion amount, and then the additional additional amount would be claim through the exemption by filing the actual return.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good practice and procedure too. If you do give someone, you know, a car that's worth over the annual exclusion amount, or you give someone, you know, we've mentioned a lot of times about doing a gift of real property where you retain a life estate. That's
right.
still a present interest gift that you'd have to account for. It's just good practice to do that too, because it shows what your intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if we do get into a dispute later on with heirs, or beneficiaries regarding, was that my parents' intention to give that to an individual?
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, pop a gift tax return on them and say, well,
here's
pretty good evidence that it
yeah.
is. You know, it really kind of ties a nice little bow around it and makes sure that, you know, if there ever is a challenge to the particular, gift that you're choosing to give, I would say a particular context, Ben, is if you decide to give something, let's say, to a grandchild, for
mm-hmm.
instance, and you're skipping over your children to go directly to that grandchild. If you do that, then I think obviously you have to file it because it's required
right.
under law.
Right.
But again, it ties that bow around it where it's like, look, kids, I chose freely to give this particular, asset or piece of property to the grandchild, and, you know, via evidence, you know, see
mm-hmm.
gift tax return.
Right.
So,
right.
I do think that, you know, number one, it's required by law. Number two, it really does show an individual's, intent, because the problem is with an exemption amount so high, Ben, you can imagine that individuals get confused about the law and filing,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, and think, oh, well, that car was only worth 18 and the exemption amount's 14. That's close enough, you know, so we just won't even worry about
that,
doing
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Right.
And that can, you can run into some problems. Number one, you know, just from not filing a number two.
So you go ahead and do the paperwork, and you're going to count it against your overall $11 million.
Exactly,
that passes,
right.
$11 million exemption. So, you know, you have to give some 90 of those before you reach that exemption amount. So I think you're okay.
That's right.
180 for a couple. That would, I don't think you're going to reach that.
So. Exactly. So that kind of puts a big bow on the, on the transfer tax side of things. And let's move on a little bit to the income tax side of things now with the, and we're talking for listeners who are just joining us regarding the differences between the House and the Senate, plans regarding tax reform.
Okay.
And so the House side of things has already passed a bill, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. They passed it, a week ago. And we're going through that right now, and then we're also going through the Senate proposal. So the
House one doubled the personal exemption.
That's right.
Where's
you're
Senate
right.
Version go?
You're right, Ben. So the House wanted to double the personal double the standard deduction, eliminate the personal exemption amount.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're wanting individuals to not itemize their deductions on their return, to try to simplify tax filing, and by doubling the standard deduction. The numbers say that 27 million more individuals will choose the standard deduction versus itemizing their deductions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, an effort to get the, make tax filing simpler. And both the House plan and the Senate actually agree on this and say we're going to double the standard deduction and we're going to eliminate the personal exemption. Now, where we do have some differences is the tax bracket side of things. And this is a little bit surprising because, you know, what the idea behind the House side is look, we're trying to simplify tax filing. Let's cut the brackets from 7 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had the 12%, 25%, 35%, 39.6% for individuals making over $1 million. We kind of said that was the Buffett rule, so to speak.
Right.
And the Senate says, let's just keep 7 brackets.
Huh.
And so we've got still seven brackets, 10, 12, 22 and a half, kind of random, 25, 32 and a half, 35 and 38 and a half. So we're still keeping with 7 brackets. And I don't really know, Ben, why what the fixation is on 7 brackets other than again, likely has to do with dynamic scoring and dealing with making sure that all the boxes are checked so they can pass it through whatever means they need to in the Senate. But it's just real interesting that they're going to keep the seven bracket structure.
One of the complaints I've heard is that the doubling the standard deduction doesn't help somebody with a large family.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a good point. And what they've tried to do is offer a child tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, currently the child tax credit is $1,000. And they're going to bump it up to $1,600, per child. And what I'll say is the $600 is non-refundable. So we mentioned, if refundable tax credit means that if you, that you would get paid back the amount that's on the credit. So, let's say you owed, $500 in taxes, but you have a $1,000 refundable tax credit. You're going to get a check for $500 from the government regarding that refund. The $600 aspect under the House plan is going to be non-refundable, but the $1,000 would still be a refundable credit. And the phase out for claiming this is going to bump up from $75,000 to $115,000 under the House plan. The Senate plan is going to give you an even higher child tax credit to make sure we don't have this disparity between, large families suffering because of the new tax laws. They're going to bump it up to $2,000, Ben, for a credit here. And they're going to also bump up the phase out amount up to $250,000. They're really going to go high and play to families on this particular aspect. And then also for individuals that don't qualify as a child, but qualify as a relative to be claimed as a dependent.
As a dependent.
We're going to go.
Taking care of grandma.
Yeah, a grandma. Exactly right. We're going to go from $300 under the House plan up to $500 under the Senate plan. So you can see that the Senate has put a star on making sure that we don't have a discrepancy with these children and qualifying relatives.
Okay, more coming up in a moment as we're talking taxes here. It's all part of what you do with your estate and everything that has to do with Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, online at harvellandcollins.com. You can call for that appointment, too, at 726-9050. More with Andrew Foster in just a moment. Welcome back here, Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. Thanks for joining us here today, and we appreciate that. We do have on Let's Talk Legal today, Andrew Foster. You can reach him at afoster@harvallandcollins.com, by the way, if you have any questions you want to pose to him about taxes. So what else do you have for us today?
Well, Ben, the last thing we'll talk about is just some deductions. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned that the House bill was going to not allow state income taxes to be deducted, and also property taxes were going to be capped at $10,000 mm-hmm. allowable deductions. Just wanted to mention one of the Senate is proposing that they would only allow property taxes to be deducted if they are involved in a trade or business. So they're going to eliminate the property tax deduction. And then we've got the home mortgage interest deduction, which the House bill is going to allow up to $500,000 for new homes, down from the current $1 million limit. And the Senate actually retains in full. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that the builders, the realtors, mm-hmm. Have done a pretty good job lobbying the Senate to retain this, mortgage interest deduction that's going to be fully retained under the Senate proposal.
The senators from the high income tax states are going to be the ones who rule the roost here. I mean, they're either going to get this back in where they get the income tax reduction or deduction or some sort of variant on that.
That's right. Yeah. I totally agree. And we mentioned before about the fact that, that Florida, mm-hmm. Texas, big states with no income tax. And so they're going to look for ways to be able to get their citizens some tax relief.
Right.
One way is through the mortgage interest deduction. And I'm surprised, frankly, that the property tax goes away except for trade or business property in the Senate, because I thought that may be one they'd hang their hat on too, to mm-hmm. try to give some relief to some of the bigger states. But it just doesn't seem that was included under the Senate plan. The final thing that I'll say, the big difference between the two is that the Senate version actually repeals the ACA mandate,
which was ruled a tax by the Supreme Court. So
correct.
That's why it can be in this bill, but the White House has said they can be flexible on that.
Be flexible on it. Exactly right. But I did note that was probably one of the major differences between the two, that the Senate is basically, stopping the individual mandate, which ultimately, you could argue would be a death knell for, because that's how you're supposed to pay and make mm-hmm. insurance affordable, is to be able to, spread the burden out. And younger people, how do you encourage them to buy insurance? You put a penalty, if they don't buy it. Whether or not you agree with it's one thing, but, mm-hmm. but that is a big funding mechanism for Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because this, there's going to be definitely some play in politics, but that would be, a big inclusion in any kind of tax reform bill.
And one of the reasons why they're now in a even bigger hurry to get this passed is because if the Alabama Senate seat flips, there goes the majority.
You got it, Ben.
So, so that's
then,
their,
then we'll be doing version number two, I believe.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, as always, Andrew, good to see you. And if you want to get in touch with Andrew, it's afoster@harvallandcollins.com. You want to call for that appointment, 726-9050.